Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. To the Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, a single proverb. Today we launch a new sermon series, Building for God, Surviving and Thriving in Our First Building Project. So we look at one proverb today and much of scripture to talk about a wonderful theme, the glory of overlooking, the glory of overlooking. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, listen closely, this is God's word. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is his glory to overlook an offense. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word, whether large paragraphs, chapters, and books, or small wisdom sayings, which punctuate the scriptures throughout, and are collected in the book of Proverbs. We pray that this statement, along with the other scriptures we hear today, would guide your church in this joyful transition period in the life of the church. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Bless your word. May it strike where it needs to strike. May we be open and hear and receive it, responding in faith and humility, with joy, changing by grace where we must, being fortified by grace where God's people are standing strong. We ask this in his name, and let us say, amen. Well, I have good news for you. Today is your opportunity for glory. Today is going to be a glorious day because you know why? I'm sure today someone will offend you. A careless word, a gruff voice, a frown on their face, a dirty look. Someone is going to offend you today. And at that very moment, dear church, when you find yourself offended, at that very moment, at that point in time, is your opportunity to shine. Your opportunity to glow, to beam, to radiate. In a word, as the scripture says, it is your opportunity for glory. For glory. And you know what? Next week begins your year of glory. Next Sunday begins a year of glory for this local church because we are getting a new building. And I assure you, someone will offend you in the process. But with God's help, dear church, this year, we are going to ignore minor transgressions. We are going to turn the other cheek. We are going to pass over offenses. We are going to choose mercy over misery. Because today and every day this coming year is going to be a very glorious day. Many opportunities for glory. So that's why Pastor is launching a new sermon series called Building for God, Surviving and Thriving in Our First Building Project. Because I have been asking a big question all year. You remember in our study of Habakkuk in the evenings, we learned from Habakkuk that believers are allowed to ask God questions. In fact, that is a sign of healthy faith and healthy prayer. If you are asking God questions, many times teachers at school can tell when kids are listening, they ask a question. And not a question like, where am I at again? But a little bit better than that. That's a sign of healthy faith. And I've been asking questions. I've been asking the question of, Lord, how are you going to use this building to stimulate renewal, revival, and reformation, for which we have prayed now coming on 2 years at this local body. What are you doing? Because you see, our mission statement is that we need to grow in renewal, revival, and reformation in our hearts. That's where it begins, and then it tracks out to our homes, and then it continues into the church, and then outward to the community. How will God use this building to help us practice transparent friendship, authentic fellowship, deliberate hospitality? How will this building help us to exercise spiritual disciplines and the means of grace in a satisfying and undistracted manner? That's what our mission statement says. In a satisfying and undistracted manner, with dust floating all over the place. Well, I believe our text today tells us one way that God is going to work our mission statement out, because this year, God is going to teach all of us to overlook in new ways, like we've never had to overlook before. And overlooking brings glory. That's what our text says. You see, when you overlook an offense this coming year, it will be the opposite of what you want to do. And so, firstly, you're going to have to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You're going to have to trust in the Lord with all your heart in order to overlook. Our natural desire is to lean on our own understanding. Our natural impulse is to think our understanding, our ideas, our instincts are the right ones. And so you and I, by nature, will want to stand up and defend our instincts and defend our rights and defend our understanding. But instead, dear church, by grace, you're going to acknowledge him and say, God, direct our paths. And dear church, that's always glorious. Trusting in the Lord, that's what Proverbs 3 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You'll have to trust in the Lord in order to overlook. Secondly, when you overlook, others at church will notice. Others at church will notice, and that is glorious. You see, whenever you find yourself in a discussion or a debate some type of meeting or some type of work project, when you manage conflict with grace and someone notices it and praises you for it, at that moment you can give credit to God. You can say, that wasn't me. That was God. And that's fun to tell people that Christ in you through his Spirit is helping you. And sharing the gospel, pointing people to Jesus, even when you're scraping old paint off of a wall, is always glorious. Pointing people to Jesus is always glorious. We see this in Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. People at church will notice. Thirdly, you will carry someone else's burden when you overlook. I need to tell you an old pastoral trick I've learned over the many years of suffering through conflicts. Do you know that when people lash out at you, sometimes they are lashing out at you not because of what you've said, not because of what you've done, but because there are other frustrations going on inside of their lives, and you just happen to be there when it comes flying out. That took me a long time to learn. And you just happen to be there, and the thing we have to learn is to not fight people in their problems. Help them through their problem. And that means bearing with them and overlooking. It's always painful. at that moment, but you're blessing them. You're helping them. You're carrying, bearing with their pain and agitation by overlooking. And we see this in Galatians 6:1. Paul says to the church, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Fourthly, when you overlook this coming year, you will teach and encourage other people by your example. Do you know that when you overlook, I've experienced it, I've observed it, I've read about it. When you overlook, your family is going to notice. You know, it amazes me. I've been married 27 years, have 5 children, and so many things I think my family doesn't notice about me, and they notice about me. We think, you know, it's just going on inside here, and, you know, I can hide it from, oh no. They know. Just get them going one day and they'll tell you how much they notice. But dear church, when you overlook, your family will notice, your loved ones will notice, your children will notice. It will impact how others handle the minor conflicts in their lives by remembering how you, by God's grace, handled minor conflicts in your life. It's a blessing. It's such a blessing when your child or your loved one learns to overlook because of dad's example or mom's example. 1 Corinthians 4:12 and 16 says it so beautifully. These are the words of Paul. He says, when we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. That's pretty cool. And fifthly, when you overlook, you will see how much you need God's help every moment of your life. Because, dear church, I can think of few things harder than having to overlook an injury, a grievance, an insult at the very moment you encounter it. It is hard, hard, hard work. You will be reminded every time you overlook how hard overlooking is, how weak you actually are, and how much help you need from God every day. I dare say your desire to have glory from overlooking will drive you to the prayer closet, because you cannot do it alone. You cannot do it when you are running on fumes. You cannot do it when you are deeply sad inside, when your mind is not on God but on 1,000 other things, when your body is weary, when your soul is thin, when your emotions are fragile and frail. You cannot overlook easily. And you will see at that moment you need God. I call this the ABCs of spiritual growth. Adversity builds character. And when adversity comes into your life and by grace you seek to flex your muscles, depending on God's grace, it is glorious. When God shows up and does a divine work in you, it is glorious. Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. He says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's power will be made perfect in our feeble efforts to overlook. How glorious. All right, let's pause and take a breath for a second. I would dare say, looking at all 5 of these, that this is going to be a glorious year. This is going to be an incredibly glorious year when, you know, when the youth say, hey, we're painting the youth room tequila green. And you, good. Pastor, I want to put platinum and pink shingles on the building. Okay. We're going to have a glorious year. a glorious year. And dear church, as you trust in God and people notice and you carry burdens and encourage others and depend upon God, it's going to be glorious. And if God's people don't taste glory on a regular basis, we grow weary. Now, here's our next point. Our good news is that you can enjoy the glory coming your way this year many times a day, because the best way to handle conflict most of the time, dear church, is to simply overlook. Can I say that again? When in doubt, overlook. Don't think that your passion for the glory of God is not influenced by the fact you are stinking mad. We really profane God's glory and name when we allow our rage and anger to be the engine of defending what we say is the glory of God. So let me say it again. The best way to handle conflict this coming year, by and large, most of the time, more often than not, and more often than you and I believe so, is to simply overlook. And let me show you from the scriptures this truth. The Bible frequently, often commends and praises overlooking. Firstly, Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Proverbs 17, verse 8. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Next one is Proverbs 17, verse 14. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. And then Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. There it is. The virtue of overlooking in the Bible. Overlooking is a virtue. Overlooking is not a cop-out. Overlooking is not being a man-pleaser, a fearer of man. Overlooking is not settling for less than the glory of God. Overlooking is a virtue. It is righteous. It is upright and glorious and praiseworthy and honorable and desirable. And one reason, dear church, that overlooking is such a virtue is because God overlooks many offenses daily. God does this. We see first in Psalm 103, verses 8 through 10, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. You see, dear church, you and I live in the age, the new age. We live in the new kingdom age, in this era of mercy, in this age of grace, in this day of patience, prior to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many times, not all of them, but many times when God waits. God delays. God restrains, and he overlooks. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 puts it this way. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. In his sermon in Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, Paul says this: in the past, God overlooked such ignorance. He overlooked your ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, and he has set a day when he will come. He will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And so you see, even in God's redemptive operations, in redemptive history, there are times when God sees fit for a season, for a time, in certain circumstances, for certain reasons, to overlook. And dear church, there are times when he says you and I should do the same. When are those times? That's the rub, isn't it? When are those times to speak or not to speak? That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows. I forget that. I tried to memorize that for an English class for extra credit. Failed by line 3. But to speak or not to speak? That is the question. How many poor decisions do you have to endure before you say, enough's enough? How many offenses must you receive? How many careless words must you endure before you finally say, would you cut it out? What kind of words must they be? What kind of frowns must they resemble? What kind of dirty, rotten, underhanded scheme before we say, that's enough? Well, it requires wisdom, does it not, dear church? It requires wisdom. Wisdom comes from God in multiple ways. Firstly, God's word, the perfect law of liberty. The word of wisdom is our guide, but it also must be accompanied by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, which is enjoyed through prayer. I like this saying. Someone said, if God's Spirit does not guide us through God's word, then it won't achieve God's results. And so we seek God's word, we seek his Spirit, and we pray. Because you see, we need all three of those, the word and the Spirit and the means of prayer. Because you and I fall often into one of two camps. We're either hard-headed, hard-headed, we ain't changing. Or we're the other side, we're mushy-hearted. We're squishy. Just whatever, 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 leave me alone. But with God's wisdom, the Spirit's help, and with much prayer, I'd like to offer 4 guidelines on helping you when not to overlook. When not to overlook. Firstly, do not overlook something going on around you this coming year if it significantly dishonors God. If it significantly dishonors God. Paul rebuked his fellow Jews whom he loved, who, like Moses, he was willing to give his own life and soul if they would embrace God's Messiah and anointed Jesus Christ. Paul loved them, and he said to them, you who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And so in our interactions with one another this coming year, if any of us are acting in such a way that makes people think less of God, that makes people think less of his church, that makes people think less of his word, then it's time to speak up. For it is so sad as I walk through the community or walk throughout my life and I encounter so many outside of the church as a pastor. And when they know you're a pastor, they'll tell you things. And they'll tell you their opinion of the church. And I just listen. When I hear them talk of blasphemy among believers, sacrilege among the saints, wild wickedness in the ranks. Well, those things warrant a rebuke. Because dear church, people lose faith when the faithful are faithless. It affects people's walk with God and neighbor, how we live. God loses honor when the honorable have no honor. And God's glory is too important to be remain silent when the actions of our neighbor are shouting God down. So do not overlook an offense if it really dishonors God to do so. Secondly, do not overlook an offense if it is significantly damaging your relationship with that person. In Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, it says, if your brother sins against you seven times in a day, go to him. Rebuke him. Speak up. Pick the verb you wish that fits the occasion. Do something positive. And if he repents, then forgive him. Wow, seven times a day. Now, that's pretty intense. That's more than I eat in a day. I don't eat seven times a day. Can you imagine getting offended, grieved, seven times a day by one person? More than you eat. Frustration is certainly brewing in that relationship. Resentment is certainly on the rise. And so, dear church, if the quality of that offense or the quantity, the number of offenses, negatively impacts your relationship with that person for more than just a short time, and speak up. If you think just a good night's sleep will take care of it, and then the next day, the next week, you see that person and you clinch up, that's a sign. If you just can't shake the feelings of ill will towards that person, if your thoughts or your emotions are separating you from that brother or sister, you have to talk about it. This is what the word says. Speak up. Work it out. And if this idea scares you, it's probably a sign you need help. Don't just muster up the courage and then charge into the fray. If you're that scared, talk to someone you trust. What should I do? Don't overlook so often that you're friends with few or nobody and you're resentful for it all. Thirdly, we cannot overlook an offense if it is really hurting other people around us. All right, so 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 puts it this way, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. And so if you're working in the church or if you are working together this coming year and you see some abuse going on or people being neglected or exploited or molested or manipulated or violated, that is not a time to overlook. The scriptures call that kind of conduct yeast. So yeast spreads through dough to make it rise, to bake. A modern word would be in a negative sense, cancer. Cancer grows, metastasizes, and spreads. And if you wait till stage 4, it's too late. The body's dead. And so cancer is very serious. It is so serious, it must be surgically removed. It doesn't just happen. It requires great skill. It requires anesthesia, a steady hand, professional tools, specialized help. So that means the church and all of our skills and all of our abilities and all of our personalities and all of our unique gifts need to collaboratively in the new medical model of team medicine, which is the way these days. There's hardly one person calling all the shots. It's teamwork. And so as people are getting hurt, others must speak up together and speak out and work on it. So if you or someone you know are being deeply hurt by someone, would you, with God's help, muster the courage to ask for help? And then fourthly, and finally, do not overlook an offense when it is hurting the offender by overlooking. We see this in James 5, verse 20. It says, "Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death." So sometimes we watch people destroy themselves because we're too scared. We watch them harm their body by their choices, harm their soul, harm their family, harm their relationships. And we just watch them fade and watch them falter and trip, and we delay. If it's hurting them, we must not overlook. Well, let's close our time together by using our imagination about 2017. Imagine with me this coming year, by God's grace, how Cedar Church will experience, I am confident of this, dear church, will experience renewal, revival, and reformation this coming year as we overlook. Because as we overlook, this is what's going to happen at church. Church will feel like a safe place. Like a safe place. Church will be a place where you come and there's no walking on pins and needles here as we overlook. Needless discouragement will dissipate. Respect and appreciation and having more opportunities to say thank you, thank you, thank you will rise. This year, leaders will be less burned out, less stressed out, less forced out. Lay people will be less criticized, less paralyzed, less ostracized. And dear church, here's the kicker. When the world sees our gentleness, when a guest sees our patience, when a visitor sees our courtesy, they will want to know about this God who gave it to us. Evangelism and outreach will grow. What a great way to touch our community for whom we pray. Overlooking builds up brother and sister. Overlooking intrigues the outsider. But more than anything, and this is the note upon which we end, overlooking honors God, bottom line. When we overlook, it displays the mercy and patience of God for this fallen world. When we overlook, it manifests the mission of Christ, who came at his first coming not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When we overlook, it parades the power of the Holy Spirit, who generously gives us the fruit of patience as we believe. This is going to be a glorious year. And today is a glorious day because it is a season for lots of people to offend you. It is a year that will be filled with many wrongs, many misstatements, many misunderstandings, many misjudgments. And as God's people patiently bear with each other, we're going to see God's glory fill this place. I can't wait. Let all God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that your glory would cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. May your glory fill your temple. May the glory of Christ fill the church. May it pour forth into our community, our families, our neighborhoods, our community, and the world. Shine your glory as we go about the cross-bearing work of overlooking. We can't do it, Lord. We need Christ, the resurrected Christ, through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit to give us daily grace. Bless all in your church. Make church a safe place. Make church a blessed place, a healing place. And Lord, when we must speak to one another, give us that gentle, gracious demeanor that bespeaks Christ, that helps them and family and church and the honor of God. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. Let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.